Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today is, well, honestly, today feels heavy. In a good way, but heavy.
It really does.
If you're listening to this, it's probably February 6th, 2026, or sometime right after.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been watching the feeds like I have, the world just looks different.
Fundamentally different. Usually when we do this, we're looking at trends, right? Things that take, you know, 5, maybe 10 years to unfold.
Right.
But the stack of reports we have in front of us, especially this massive breakdown from Tech and Morning, it feels like a whole decade of innovation just got dropped on us.
In one day.
In a single 24-hour cycle. It's wild.
We're calling this deep dive the day the future arrived because all the buzzwords are, well, they're gone. The agentic era, that phrase we've been throwing around for a couple of years.
It's not a buzzword anymore.
It's real. It's here.
And it's not just one announcement. That's the key thing to understand. We've got 6 huge stories to get through that cover the entire stack of civilization.
The whole stack. You're talking about the AI brain, the computer, the interface you wear.
The car in your driveway, the satellites over your head, everything.
It's a lot of sci-fi becoming sci-fact, basically overnight. You have OpenAI, Apple, SpaceX, NVIDIA, Tesla, Microsoft, all converging.
Exactly. This isn't just about a faster phone or a slightly better chatbot. This is the actual architecture for the next decade. It's the convergence of reasoning, computing, and total connectivity.
So let's not waste any time. To really get this new organism we're building, we have to start with the brain.
The mind.
The big one from Sam Altman and OpenAI. GPT-6.
This is the headliner. And the real story isn't just GPT-6 is out. The headline is that we have, officially moved beyond word prediction.
Okay, let's unpack that. Because for years, the skeptics have said, and they were right, look, AI is just a fancy autocorrect.
A stochastic parrot.
Yeah, it just guesses the next word.
Yeah.
Altman is saying that's over. They're calling this a reasoning engine. What does that actually mean?
So they've branded the core of it, logic core.
Mm-hmm.
And the key idea here is something called system 2 thinking.
System 2. I remember that from Kahneman's work. It's the slow, deliberate kind of thought. Right.
Exactly. Like when you're doing a tough math problem, not just reacting.
Right.
Previous models, even GPT-4 and 5, were mostly system 1. Fast, instinctive, statistical. But GPT-6 uses multi-step deliberative planning.
Okay. What does that look like in practice? Give me an example.
This source material had a great one about business strategy. Imagine you ask it to design a multi-billion dollar marketing plan.
Mm. Okay, so yesterday an AI would spit out some generic ad copy, maybe a slogan.
Right. It would hallucinate something that sounded plausible. But GPT-6, it engages System 2. It first simulates market variables. It weighs competitors in real time. It even predicts regulatory blowback in, say, the EU versus the US.
Wow.
It runs all these scenarios, checks them against its own logic, and then it delivers the answer. It thinks before it speaks.
That is a fundamental change in trust because the numbers they're reporting are just, they're staggering. 98.4% accuracy on complex quantum physics and legal problems.
And that 98.4% is the tipping point. In finance, in healthcare, you can't use a tool that's wrong 10% of the time. You just can't.
No way.
But at 98.4, and with a self-correction loop, now you have something you can rely on.
Tell me about that self-correction loop. That's new too, right?
It is. It's not just fact-checking. It's actually testing its own ideas. It uses external tools like code compilers and live browsers to verify its own logic. It's the difference between asking an intern to guess and collaborating with a digital expert that double-checks its own work.
But to run a brain that big, you need a huge memory. The source mentioned a context window of 100 million tokens. For people who don't live and breathe this stuff, what does that let you do?
Think of it like this. 100 million tokens is about 75 million words. That means it can ingest your company's entire historical archive.
You mean every email, every contract, every Slack message?
Everything. In seconds. And it holds all of that in its working memory at the same time, reasoning across the whole data set. It's an agent that knows everything your company has ever done.
That is wild.
Hmm.
And it brings us perfectly to the next piece. We have the brain.
Mm-hmm.
But a brain needs a body. It needs hardware. And NVIDIA didn't just help build the cloud. They dropped a bomb on the consumer market.
The RTX 6090, or as the forums are calling it, the Rubin Beast.
I saw the specs on this thing, and they seem just silly. 48 gigs of GDDR7 memory. That's not for playing video games.
Well, you have to stop looking at it as a video game card. That's the pivot. This is built on the 2-nanometer Rubin architecture, and with 48 gigs of VRAM, it's a localized supercomputer.
So why is that number, 48 gigs, so important?
It's the threshold for running large language models locally on your own machine.
So this is about democratizing supercomputing.
Exactly. You can run an enterprise-grade AI researcher right on your desktop. No cloud, no API fees to OpenAI. And the big one, your data never leaves your room.
Huge for privacy. But what about gaming? The source mentioned DLSS 6.5.
It's more radical than just upscaling. It uses generative AI to reconstruct scenes from scratch.
It's making the frame itself.
Yes. The AI understands the geometry and lighting and generates it. They're talking fully path-traced 8K gaming at 120 frames per second.
Path-tracing is that movie-level lighting, right?
Correct. It used to take hours to render one frame for a film. This card does it 120 times a second.
But, and it's a big but, the cost. Not just the price tag, which is what,
$2,600? $2,599, but you're right, the real cost is the power draw.
750 watts.
Yep.
That's absurd. You need a 1750 watt power supply for your PC. That's like running a microwave constantly.
It is. It's the price of power. You want a supercomputer, you have to feed it like one. Heat is going to be a real issue.
So we have the brain, GPT-6, and the muscle, NVIDIA. But that hardware is useless without an OS that gets it. And that's where Microsoft comes in.
The nervous system. At their Redmond Summit, they unveiled the Windows AI OS, and it sounds like they're finally killing the desktop metaphor.
No more files and folders.
Yeah. They're moving to intent-based workspaces. It's a fundamental change. The OS isn't a passive tool anymore. It's a proactive collaborator.
Okay, the source used a mortgage broker as an example. Walk me through that, because that's when it clicked for me.
So right now, a broker opens Outlook, downloads a PDF, opens Excel, types in credit scores, opens Word, drafts the email. It's all manual.
And with the new Windows.
With recursive auto-tasking, the broker just says, review the pending applications and draft approval emails for anyone over 700.
And the OS just does it.
It does it. The core pilot engine, which is baked into the new Intel and AMD chips, understands the workflow. It opens the apps, extracts the data, drafts the emails, and then just presents the finished work for review.
That is the definition of agentic. It's doing the work for you. But if Microsoft is reading my emails, what about privacy?
That's the big question. They announced the encrypted neural enclave. And because of that powerful local hardware we just talked about, all this processing happens on your machine.
So the data doesn't hit their cloud servers.
That's the promise. It's a local loop. Nothing goes to the cloud without your express permission.
I also love the detail about the UI changing based on your stress levels.
It's smart, almost spooky. If it senses you're focused, it hides notifications. If you're relaxing, it brings up social feeds. It adapts to you, not the other way around.
So let's recap. We've got the brain, the muscle, the nervous system. But we still need to see all this information. And that's where Apple comes in. They think the monitor is dead.
The post-monitor era? It's a bold claim, but looking at the Apple Glass Pro 2, you can see why.
The first headsets were, let's be honest, heavy. They were novelties. But this says they've cut the weight by 40%.
Down to under 145 grams. That is the magic number.
Why that specific number?
It's the threshold for all-day wearability. They're using aerospace-grade carbon titanium and something called aeropolymer. Feels like heavy sunglasses, not a helmet. You can wear it for an eight-hour workday.
That changes everything. If I can wear it all day, I don't need a desk monitor.
Precisely. And the screens are finally good enough. Samsung's Vision X Micro OLEDs are pushing 5,500 nits of brightness.
5,500. A good laptop screen is what, maybe 500 nits?
Maybe 1,000 if it's high-end. 5,500 nits means you can use these in full daylight. In the Dubai sun or looking out at a London skyline, the hologram looks solid. Doesn't look like a ghost.
And they've dealt with the creepy hologram problem too, right? With Persona Sync 2.0.
Yeah, this tackles the isolation. The holograms now mimic micro-expressions, even eye dilation, in real time. On a FaceTime call, it feels like the other person is actually in the room with you.
Plus 11 hours of battery. You can actually get through a day.
Goldman Sachs is predicting this might kill the iPad Pro by 2028. Why carry a tablet when the screen is just wherever you look?
It's compelling vision. But all of this, the AI agents, the data sync, all needs connectivity. And when you go to the mountains, that dies.
Not anymore. Enter SpaceX and Starlink V3. This is the circulatory system for this new world.
Their direct-to-cell tech seems like the end of dead zones. For good.
It really is. They're using 28-meter foldable antennas in orbit. That size is critical.
Why so big?
To pick up the faint signal from a standard phone. And that's the part people miss. It works with standard 5G phones, your iPhone, your Android. No special brick.
So literally anywhere.
From the Amazon rainforest to the top of the Himalayas, if you see this guy, you've got broadband.
The disruption to the telecom industry must be massive.
It's a bloodbath. They're offering a global roaming add-on for $12 a month.
$12?
$12. Imagine you're a carrier charging huge roaming fees, and Musk offers global coverage for the price of a coffee.
And there's a humanitarian angle, too.
Huge! Free connectivity for developing nations by late 2026, and for disaster relief. When a hurricane takes out the cell towers, the sky is still there. It's unkillable infrastructure.
Powerful. So we can work from anywhere. Now, how do we move through this world? Tesla finally showed off the cyber sedan.
Project Highland Cyber. These are the legs.
The spy shots show that cold-rolled stainless steel from the Cybertruck, but on a sedan.
It's an aesthetic, sure, but it's also an exoskeleton. But the real headline isn't the steel, it's the Plaid Plus Edition stats.
The numbers are ludicrous. 2,100 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 1.58 seconds.
It's faster than falling. It's the fastest production car in history. But honestly, the speed is a party trick. The revolution is the range.
The 4680 Prime solid-state cells.
Solid-state is the holy grail. They are getting 11,150 kilometers. That's 715 miles on a single charge.
715 miles. That's San Francisco to Portland, London to Berlin, on one charge.
And if you do stop, the V4 supercharging adds 600 kilometers, or almost 400 miles, in just 9 minutes.
So the EVs take too long to charge. Argument is officially dead.
It's gone. And it integrates all the other tech. It has Starlink built in. It has the AI computer to run full self-driving. It's a spaceship on wheels. The internal combustion engine just can't compete with those physics anymore.
So let's pull all this together, because today wasn't random. It was a picture coming into focus.
It's the convergence. That's the word of the day.
Let's trace it. We have the agent GPT-6 that can plan and reason.
The mind.
We have the localized power, NVIDIA and Windows, to run it privately on our desks.
The body and the nervous system.
We have the interface Apple Glass that puts that intelligence right into our vision.
The eyes.
And we have the connection Starlink that keeps it all online while the Tesla drives us there.
The legs and circulatory system. It's the complete organism.
And the so what here is huge. This isn't just better toys. It redefines work. If your OS handles 80% of your grunt work, what is your job now?
You move from doing to directing.
It redefines location, too. If I can get broadband in the Sahara and my office is in my glasses,
yeah.
Why do I live in an expensive city?
The tether is severed.
It's exciting, but it's also a little overwhelming. We're changing the fundamental variables of human life. Intelligence, location, labor, all at once.
It should be overwhelming. We're handing over the keys. Which brings me to the question I want to leave everyone with.
Go for it.
We're building these proactive collaborators. They know our schedule, our business, our stress levels. They draft our emails, plan our strategies, drive our cars.
Right. They're assistants.
But if the assistant understands your intent better than you do, and it executes the work better than you can, at what point does the assistant become the director?
That's chill.
Are you using the AI, or is the AI just using you to sign off on its decisions? Are we the CEO, or are we just the rubber stamp?
That is a thought that will definitely keep me up tonight. But I guess that's the agentic era. It's here. Ready or not. Thank you for listening to this deep dive into the future. We'll catch you on the next one.
Stay curious.